Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Carlyn Shaw, and we'll be talking about strangers to friends. Connecting with a stranger doesn't need to involve approaching someone. Sometimes we meet the most meant-to-be people simply by being open and approachable, and that part is up to you. Strangers to Friends aims to inspire you to embrace the possibility that the person you least expect might be the next person that you are meant to meet. Say yes to you and say yes to turning strangers to friends. And you can find out more by visiting Carlyn's website, which is strangerstofriends.com. And it's strangers in the word T-O, friends, strangerstofriends.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Carlyn to the show. Good day, Carlyn.
Good day to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And how about yourself?
I am having the most wonderful day. I've been on a road trip throughout a couple of states, turning many strangers into friends. And right now, you find me in Los Angeles.
Well, how wonderful. That's great. One of my favorite places. I used to live in Long Beach for many years, so I used to hang out in that neighborhood. So, well, I'm glad that we're able to finally connect, and so we can talk about strangers to friends. Before we do that, though, would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself with the listeners? Because I think your story of some of the challenges that you've had might resonate with some of those listening.
Yeah, I like to say that what breaks us makes us, and nothing happens to us, but rather for us. And this has been my journey that ultimately is what birthed Strangers to Friends. So I am 41 years old, and at the age of 19, I was not only diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, but both of my best friends were killed in separate car accidents within 9 months of my diagnosis. So the way I explain that now, it's almost 22 years later, is that I was woken up very early, and I recognized that for myself, while most people thought MS was a death sentence, I saw it for myself as a life sentence eventually, because I recognized what death was through my friends and how precious life is. And so it launched me on this journey of self-discovery. This was before Google was invented, so you couldn't go online and find others like you. And it ultimately took me about 8 years before I met anyone else my age living with MS. And at this point in my journey, I had been on and off different medications, but was becoming more aware of a variety of modalities and this idea of energetically being able to shift our health by the power of our thoughts and emotions. And I'm jumping over a lot of my story because, in this journey of MS, it also propelled me to go to Australia and work for a nonprofit for 3 months and backpack. And it propelled me to do a study in London for a semester. It started to propel me in this idea that we can't take life for granted. And through this journey, I noticed that the happier I became, the healthier I was feeling. And so in 1997 was my diagnosis, but it wasn't until 2004 that I had my second exacerbation. And this is what really gave me that glimpse of, it's not that I'm anti-sitting in a cubicle, but I just became more aware of this, not sedentary life, but this life that I was leading maybe for others as opposed to for myself. And where was I out of alignment? And the alignment came from not only the career, but the relationships and where I was living and how I was eating and how I was exercising. And most importantly, the thoughts that I had. And so it became this journey of getting myself into alignment, which caused me to, you know, I'd been smoking for 15 years. I let that go. My relationship with food shifted. I signed up for my first half marathon and ultimately ran 18 marathons and 3 marathons. And in this journey, let go of all my MS medication, not from a space of, you know, I don't want to take meds, but from this recognition
right.
that I didn't feel like I needed them anymore. And I wasn't here to be irresponsible, but if something changed, I'd go back on them. And I'm proud to say, here I am, you know, this many years later, I have not had a symptom. I don't have any new lesions. And if anything else, I'm still like more inspired on this journey to continue. I have Love Life tattooed on the back of my neck where my lesions, you know, are in the brainstem. And I like to call it my bumper sticker. It's just how I lead my life.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
The
well,
power
you know,
of words, you know that.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, the one thing that, you know, I mean, it's wonderful that you have the health and vibrancy that you do now without the meds. And, you know, it's one of those cases where it seems, you know, for you that the that being awoken, you know, excuse me, at the age of 19 or 20 with the death of the friends really kind of set the stage for that I'm going to live life, you know, kind of approach.
Right.
And it seems like that may be the, you know, that deep mental shift then led to, you know, your body kind of responding, you know, in
mm-hmm.
kind.
Well, it's perspective, and we're not often given that perspective, but when we are, we have a choice. And I'd be lying if I said in the beginning it wasn't, you know, it also was maybe this fear of, oh my gosh, you know,
mm-hmm.
I might not be able to walk again, or there was a little fear behind it initially. But ultimately, you know, I've looked at the journey I've been on, and these are just a few of the stories. Unfortunately, I've lost more friends. There's been a lot more chaos in my life that's been a catalyst, so to say, but I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I lost my friends in 97, and it was 2008 that I had my first session with a spiritual medium. And so, you know, she brought my friends into the room, essentially, like hands down. And in that, and I was actually on my way to Peru for 6 weeks to climb Machu Picchu and live with a family. And I brought them with me, you know, so it became this journey of, oh, I know my friends are with me. Like they get to live vicariously through me too. And there's always been this, you know, it is a shift, you know, it really is a shift in this idea. Anything's possible. It's possible to heal ourselves. It's possible for our friends still to be with us. And there's just a lot of trust and a lot of surrender.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And those are probably the toughest things to do for many people, you know, is surrender and let go. I mean, you know, those are it can just be really difficult, especially if there is,
yes.
you know, a big unknown when it, you know, that
uncertainty.
That's in the future.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not to digress too much, but even this road trip I'm on, this was not planned. My housemate and I in Boulder, Colorado, were given a 30-day notice we had to move out. And I'd already sold all my belongings before moving in with her. And I just said, well, what would I do with this time if I could do anything?
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, you know, 2.5 weeks around the country, and I'll get back to Colorado. And a week later, I have a one-way ticket to Kona, Hawaii, where I'm going to go live for a few months. So there, again, is this crazy catalyst. No one wants to be told they have to move out, but it's
right.
making my dreams come true.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
In a way that I don't think I would have chosen for myself. Like the universe had to strike down that lightning and go, nope, you're ready for a shift, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, a couple of the key components there is recognizing that, you know, that closing just led to another opening, you know, and a lot of people, I think,
yes.
don't recognize that the possibility of that can happen
right.
once you close.
I like to call it a window.
Mm-hmm.
because like the window is closed, but you can still see out, but there's this glass, you're not moving through the window. But then something like this happens and you open the window and you realize it was kind of there all along. You just had to be willing to open the window.
Yeah, exactly. So now let's talk about strangers to friends. How did that come about, and what is the goal of strangers to friends?
So strangers to friends was kind of birthed in me in 2009 when I was laid off from a job and I was out, you know, networking, and I recognized everyone was slinging around business cards. And what do you lose when you lose your job? You lose your business card. So I had this feeling come over me that I needed a personal connection card. And I went to Kinko's, and back then, you know, you open the book and you see the little, you have to fill in like job,
right,
title, like all the places. And I was like, title, like, who am I? What do I do? What is, like, because there was an essence. It wasn't like I was doing anything. And I thought about
right.
all the jobs I've had. I thought about the volunteer work I'd done. And I heard the words downloaded into me, like, you turn strangers into friends. And I sat there. I was like, well, I guess that is what I do. So this all began with a card that I created that just had my first and last name, turning strangers into friends, my Hotmail email address, and this super long URL with my MS fundraising website. So I thought, well, maybe I'll meet somebody that wants to donate. And in the beginning, you know, I had to kind of teach myself how to use them because it led to nothing but me. And it quickly gave me this awareness that I could choose in any scenario how I was showing up, and how I was showing up would invite the other person to then choose how they wanted to show up. So this idea of lead with you, not what do you do. But what I didn't expect was the number of people that would see that URL, and it, in the URL said MS Society, and the number of people that would say to me, oh, what is this? And, you know, without any shame or anything, I would just say, oh, you know, I was
right.
diagnosed and I'm raising money. And they just look at me and go, you know, oh, my sister was just diagnosed, or, oh, they have their own story associated with it. And they didn't
right.
know, they didn't have their own people to talk to about it. So before I knew it, I saw that when I shared my stories, I gave people permission to share their stories. And this is where the synchronicity began. So over time, my formula has become vulnerability equals synchronicity equals possibility. Because, you know, like in any moment, like it takes us sharing ourselves, right? Like when we meet somebody, we actually have no idea how they're supposed to show up in our lives. Sometimes it's not till 10 years later. Like sometimes it's the next day. But you've got to be open to this idea. So I started leading this life of synchronicity, inviting people into my world and just showing one person at a time through my cards that we're all connected. Well, fast forward, this all began when I lived in San Diego. I ultimately moved to Wilmington, North Carolina. So I did this 6-week cross-country road trip. I decided to show up not knowing a soul and like a huge stack of strangers to friends cards. So I built this community off of my own intuition and just seeing, like, inviting people to be open to me as much as I was open to them. And so I proved to myself, oh, this is like a way of living. Like, we can all just be this, and we're going to attract the right people. And that's what you said in the beginning. It's people put so much pressure on themselves to go make friends. And
mm-hmm.
I think if more could shift that perspective of, we don't have to go make them, it's not hard, we can attract them. By being us, by giving off that inviting energy, which means putting down the phone, which means making eye contact, which means smiling, just the little things, giving compliments, you know, just the little things we have every day in that human connection space. So I then moved from Wilmington to Denver, Colorado, and, you know, moved there with this idea of, oh, I'm going to continue living strangers to friends. But what happens? Sometimes life happens. And I end up getting into a relationship where I lost myself. And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there that can relate. And we don't intentionally lose ourselves.
Yeah,
but
happened.
We're in the wrong relationship. It's our teacher, right? And so not only did I lose myself, but I had a series of physical things happen to me, like breaking my foot, and then followed by a very freak bike accident that catapulted me over my handlebars, and I lost my front teeth on impact. And I was, my face was beaten up. It was really bad. So 8 months after that accident, I finally saw all the silver linings to what I had experienced. And I wrote a blog called Top 5 Lessons Learned from Losing My Two Front Teeth. And you can imagine in this time span, I wasn't handing out strangers to friends cards. I was rebuilding myself. Almost with my own work, I had to rebuild myself. And a woman in Denver found my blog because Brené Brown retweeted it. And so people started finding it. And she had gone 18 years in shame without her front teeth, and but with a partial, but never telling anybody. And she reached out to me, and that's when I was reminded, oh my gosh, I have the power to give people the chance to share their stories in this safe space to be seen and heard and let go of shame. And that is what inspired me to start living Strangers to Friends, not just for me, but for others. So I started a meetup in Denver and in Boulder. And I went to my favorite brewery called Strange Craft Brewery. And I went to the owner and I said, hey, can I have a Strangers to Friends happy hour at Strange Craft? And so that's actually how it began. And I just started putting it out there to strangers. Come to a place to be safe, seen, and heard. And there's no such thing as no one can leave lonely, because I'm making sure no one leaves lonely. But not only that, but this is a place to build confidence and practice meeting people. Because what I began to notice is when you're in between, I like to call it in between stories. Let's say your relationship just changed, your career just changed, your health just changed, your city just changed, and you're in that uncertainty, like shaky space, you know, where you're not exactly sure where you belong. But you want to make community and meet people, but you also want to meet people that can understand you, not just empathize with you, and people that can support you, not feel sorry for you. So this is the, like, container that I started to create. But not only that, not from a place of people that, you know, woe is me, but for the people that were ready to take action, because we all know that action leads to more action. They just didn't know where to go and have fun with it. So what started off as a meetup, you know, a couple years later became like there's 4,000 people in the Denver meetup now, which doesn't mean 4,000 come, but it shows that 4,000 are craving this connection, right? And so now I have these meetups, and I'm creating a facilitation model so that this isn't just me, and I can empower others to create their own Strangers to Friends groups. And it's really just this mentality that I'm really trying to inspire in people, because, you know, I didn't have a group to learn this. We don't need groups. We can actually just have the tools for ourselves and go out into the world and use them. And so I've started teaching workshops on the name of my most recent workshop is How to Harness Your Story to Create Authentic Connection. And so I very often lead with the same open-ended question of what is something unique about you that we wouldn't know unless you told us. And you can go so many directions with that, you know? And I have to remind people sometimes it's not about like what's Instagrammable or what's, you know, social media worthy. It could be just what the book is you read last night. You know, we don't know anything about you. What's something about you that you enjoy talking about? So my mission is not only to show that we're all connected and that synchronicity is everywhere, but that we heal through our stories. We heal when we're seen and heard. We heal when we're understood, and we heal when we know we're not alone. And that's kind of the big gist of it. That it's my passion for people to like, you know, it took me 8 years before I met girls or women with my age living with MS. And by the time I did, I like to say I was the grandma of the bunch, because I'd been diagnosed so much earlier. And here these women were just being diagnosed. And it was a gift for each other. I was finally like, oh my gosh, I've been looking for you guys all my life. And they're like, oh my gosh, you give me hope. So that's how we were serving each other. And there should just be more of that.
I agree. Well, I'm going to take just a real quick break, Carlin, because I do want to invite listeners, if they want to call in with questions, they can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in. It's just going to be a short break. And then when we come back, I want to kind of explore a little bit in more detail about the makeup of groups, everything from no descriptors to specialty types of groups. So I want to kind of talk about that when we get back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, BiteRadio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,400 shows we have had over the past 9 years. Also on the site is a link to the products and services we provide: books, photography, a wellness store, and self-publishing assistance. Our show is a free podcast on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can subscribe for free on any of those platforms by using the links on our website homepage. We are on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we also have buttons to those platforms at the top of our homepage. Our website, BiteRadio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. And before I get back to our guests, I do want to remind everyone that in addition to TuneIn and iHeartRadio, as of last week, our podcast was added to the platforms of Google Play and Spotify. So you can find us on all of those different places. Okay, again, today's guest is Carlyn Shaw, and we're talking about Strangers to Friends. And you can find out more about Carlyn and her work by visiting the website strangerstofriends.com, and that's strangers in the word T-O, to friends.com. Okay, so that we're back, Carlyn?
Yes.
Okay. So, like I mentioned before the break, a couple times you've mentioned like that the MS type of common element, with groups. So when it comes time to, because I'm one of those kinds of people who would, when I go into a room, wouldn't know where to begin or who to begin with,
Right.
So the idea of like what you're putting together for other folks who want to maybe start up a Strangers to Friends kind of element in, in their area, that would be like a very helpful tool.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, and I've, belonged to a couple meetup groups, so I think that's a great way of promoting what it is you want to do. But now the question is when it comes to putting groups together, there's a lot that can be gained by having a very diverse group. But then sometimes there are benefits to having a group with like a real common experience. So can you talk
mm-hmm.
to us about, the pros and cons of each?
Yes. So, first of all, I always say connection first, activity second, because
okay.
there's all kinds of activity groups, right? But very often you actually don't get the chance to really know the people. Your yoga mat might be right next to somebody, but you have no idea who they are. So no matter what the activity is, it is about engaging with each other first. And I always say there's nothing wrong with being shy or an introvert. We all have our different energies that we should be aware of. So in the beginning, there's always facilitation where whoever is leading, opens the floor with just acknowledging everyone for coming. And we take, depending on the size of the group, we take a minute to go around and introduce ourselves and just kind of what brought us here today. because, you know, 99% are coming on their own. And I joke that if they do come with a friend, that I have to separate them because they're a safety blanket, you know. And so we have to actually be open to the new people. So I've done everything from having them at breweries, and it's not about drinking. It's just community space. So oftentimes you'll go to a restaurant and there's like two tops, right? So I try to not focus on two tops. Or, you know, we'll go for a hike, or we've had potlucks. You know, it's something that creates something where people can, if they're participating, we've had candle making parties where it's still this like community way of engaging. And, you know, it could just be simple as like meeting at the park and going for a walk. We've partnered with nonprofits to do volunteer work and go out and feed the homeless. And so it's something where I'm really big on this idea of contribution, because I think we need food, water, air, and shelter, but then connection and contribution. And it's in that space of contribution where we feel needed, that we feel we matter. And so when you can create that for somebody, it helps break down those barriers that keep them from connecting, because there's nothing to be afraid of. You're a part of the whole, right?
Right.
So the ideal individual to facilitate this group is, I make sure, you know, it's not about marketing ourselves, you know, and or like your business, you know, because I say, and it's not about dating. You know, I get a lot of questions like, is this a dating group? However, right. I don't know about you, but I like to date and do business with people I think are friendly. So if from this group you go on to have something with them, fantastic. You know, that's why I say the journey of friendship begins with two strangers and people equal possibilities, because I'm not here to put boundaries around why you meet somebody. I just want people to know the intention behind what we're creating is friendship. And so when it comes to commonality, you know, I once hosted a group in Denver. I called it Natives and Newbies, because we call people that are from Colorado natives, and there's so many new people coming to town, but there's a benefit for both, right? So then if I do natives and newbies, like the natives are meeting people that they can understand and connect with, but they're also a resource for the newbies, because the newbies don't know as much and vice versa. So even when there isn't something in common, you know, I facilitated an event, a workshop recently at a university in Grand Junction, and they have their international students that are aged like 19 and 20. And then there's a local community in the vicinity, and the average age is like 70, right? And so this older demographic wanted to create community and connect with this younger demographic. And it was a little challenging for me at first, because you have to, like, the younger group doesn't, there's this different level of communication, like different style.
Right.
However, it always works, because I led with the question, what's something unique about you we wouldn't know? And I had them partner up. And I would say, I can't make this stuff up. Like, one of the young women partnered up with an older woman, and one was, you know, in Reiki school, and one was a Reiki master. I'm like, I can't make that up. You know, I didn't ask people before they came in who or what they did. And so people find those common denominators, even when you assume there's not. But when it comes to like recently divorced, or when it comes to going through a career shift, like a lot of people were once corporate workers and now they're entrepreneurs, and in that space they find they're not engaging with as many people because they work from home. And so you can bring a bunch of entrepreneurs together and just meet at a co-working space or meet at a library. So there's so many different ways that we can niche, not just by age, you know, not just by single or not, because you know, when a married I think it's just fascinating, and I applaud these couples that when they're new to town, they acknowledge that they each need their own friends. They don't always need just couple friends. And so I've had couples come to these experiences that I create, but they go off and they're their own independent selves, which I think is so important, because sometimes as a couple, you don't want to go behind your spouse's back and be like, oh, I just met a guy friend, you know, if you're a female or something. But in this space, it's acceptable. because we know the intention, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. It does. It does. I mean,
okay.
Because, well, I mean, just the way that I see, from what the way you explained it, I mean, the really an umbrella of strangers to friends can involve so many subgroups or topics. I mean,
yes.
It leaves itself open to complete random
discriminatory
gathering.
Right. The values have to be the same, but the way I describe this is, let's say you hosted, I call it experiences versus events, but they're only because I look at this as an experience. But let's say you wanted to host an experience. Well, it's going to come from a place of something you enjoy, right? And if you enjoy it, you're going to attract people that it speaks to them as well. So it goes back to that idea of attraction, you know? So what we create is going to invite people into that space that we're already going to have a common denominator when they get there because they said yes, you know? And another tool I personally use in everything I create, I've had other people host on behalf of Strangers to Friends, and they don't always use them, but I use name tags. I don't care how silly mm-hmm. they look. I don't care how nicely you're dressed, but people retain information where we see it, we hear it, you know, there's all different ways you retain. And, you know, sometimes you'll introduce yourself to somebody and you forget their name and you feel awkward going up to reapproach them. And that's a very common reason why people disconnect because they feel bad. And so I really, you know, try to make it so that it's almost impossible to not know someone's name. But then at the end of these events, I think what's so important to articulate now because of the world we live in is I make everybody, if you met somebody and you'd like to continue the conversation while you are here in person, you need to establish how they each other likes to communicate. Because if you're someone that makes phone calls and the other person thinks it's strange that you're calling, like, oh my God, what's wrong? Because some people don't call anymore. Or if you're someone that text messages and the other person thinks that's impersonal, or if you email and the other person's like, I only use Facebook. Like, there's so many ways that we communicate, which creates so many more ways for the disconnection. So I just say to people, like, it's just a very simple conversation to have. Maybe even put something in the calendar with your phone while you're together as a next step. Even if it's something you can't really commit to, but just to kind of have it out there, that way you can still follow up again. Because I think where people drop the ball, and this is where people feel it's empty, like, oh, I meet a lot of people, but I don't have friends, is they assume the other's going to call. And when they don't, then they think, oh, well, they're rejecting me. There's this fear of rejection. But when you come to a Strangers to Friends experience, you're all there for the same reason. Like, there should be no rejection. I mean, yes, somebody might enjoy somebody else maybe more, but again, this is where I talk about everything is communication. And we have to build ourselves up to know we are worthy of sharing whatever it is, like, that needs to be shared with another person, because it's never about them, it's us on our journey.
Right. Yeah, you know,
said than done for a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, and it's really good to have that at the end, the direct conversation invitation to future conversations, you know, because, you know, there is so much can be, you know, misread by just not, you know, asking the question and finding out the answers. And like you say, you know, some people, I mean, you're going to have a natural draw towards some people and not some others, you know, depending on, all kinds of things. But that's fine. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what I'm going to be launching soon is I know the tool that helps me is having this connection card. And, you know, now with not every, I mean, fewer people have business cards now, but it's not just having a business card. Your business card is not your personal information. Like, if you are a software engineer and you meet somebody you want to go to the movies with, like, why would you give them your phone number at your office? It doesn't make sense. You never even,
right.
You might never have discussed what you do, you know? And
right,
so
right.
These stranger to friend cards are like, let's say you meet someone on the airplane and, you know, and then, so I've been saying I'm going to do this for a while, but I'm actually just talking to some printing companies now, just how to link that to my site. So not only can people use the cards, but learn how to, I'm going to do some online like Zoom, not like webinars, but like workshops where I come on and I'm going to teach people how to use these cards. I'm creating a shirt that I'm going to sell that for me has served as a tool to meet all sorts of people. And the shirt says, whoever smiles first wins. And you would be so surprised because again, it's not always about making long-term friends. It's that power we have as humans to be the light, right? And just shifting someone's day could have a ripple effect, or it usually always has a ripple effect, you know? And so many people will come up to me and like, I'll wear it in the airport where people kind of have these blank stares, you know, and no one's acknowledging people. And people will just run up to me and they're like, I won. Like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it works, you know? And so there's these little tools that I use and that are so easy like to incorporate into your life.
Yeah.
And then you have the awareness where this is where you get stuck. Then, you know, I actually work one-on-one with individuals as well, because the way I perceive strangers to friends based on my own journey was my own journey of self-love and self-acceptance to be able to become this strangers to friends woman, a gal, whatever. And so it's the stranger to friend journey of becoming our own best friend, that stranger to friend connection of our head and our heart that allow us to step out into the world with confidence to live a life of strangers to friends.
Yeah, you know, because in today's environment, it's, you know, even though we may have so many friends on Facebook or, you know, those kinds of registrations, I mean, there's, it's not that personal connection, and there is such a, I think, a need, you know, for people to have that personal connection and ways of getting together in the structure that you offer,
mm-hmm.
you know, for some people like myself who, you know, find it difficult to kind of free range it there and in the
mm-hmm.
group. It gives us some way of, you know, opening the conversation, you know.
Right.
To make sure
it's
that we follow up afterwards. I'm sorry?
It's a foundation. It's like the,
yes.
It's something
yeah.
to go from. Absolutely. You know, this connection that we're all craving. You know, when I say vulnerability, synchronicity, possibility, like it's vulnerable just to show up, you know,
mm-hmm.
that in itself can be enough, you know, but the next step in vulnerability is then that sharing of self. Like, so it starts with vulnerability with yourself is like, I had to be brave enough to come on this road trip to invite in all the other people that were going to show up. And then from that space, it's who I share of myself. You know, so it is that first step of vulnerabilities with yourself and second step of vulnerabilities with others. But I almost don't – I'm not a huge fan of the word vulnerability because
yeah.
it's not so much being vulnerable. It's just being you, you know. And the synchronicity that comes of it, this flow, is like when you look around the world and there's 7.5 billion people on this planet, like this idea of loneliness, it's very hard to be a human and not – walk down the street and see another human, you know, like humans
right.
are everywhere. So
right.
there's a plethora
yeah.
of people. So where is this loneliness? So it's
yeah.
not so much a loneliness. And I think it's that aloneness. And so when you can meet somebody and that synchronicity happens and all of a sudden, like the world, when you have that, it's like a, when you experience that small world with just one other person, like everything makes sense. Like the world becomes so small in this chaos that we are all kind of swirling in these days, trying to figure out our footing, you know? And and so that is, I think, so powerful, is when we can be reminded it only takes one person.
Yeah, it does. It does. And it could be you, those of you listening.
So like the stranger, the friend is often we are the stranger to become their friends, just as they are the strangers to become our friends.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Carlin, we're down to the last couple of minutes. So if people are interested in talking with you about this, how would they go about that?
You can email me directly through the website, Strangers to Friends. You can find me on Instagram, which is either Strangers to Friends, or my direct one is The Carlin Shaw, so T-H-E Carlin Shaw. We do have a Facebook group, which is Strangers to Friends, and a Facebook page, which is Strangers to Friends. And my, you know, direct email is carlin@strangerstofriends.com. If you are in the Denver or Boulder area right now, there is a meetup group. And I'm not right now, actually, meetup is shifting a little bit. So I'm not exactly sure if it's the platform I'm going to stay on. I'm kind of doing some behind the scenes work with that. But, you know, those are the best ways to connect with me. And, you know, we can schedule, if you go to Strangers to Friends, you can, through Acuity, you can schedule time with me. I offer a complimentary 20-minute connection call to just talk to people and learn their reason for reaching out and what I can do to support, if it's Strangers to Friends, if it's one-on-one. And, you know, my goal is to encourage people.
Yeah. Well, Carlin, I want to thank you for your time. I really enjoyed sharing this. And, you know, this is one of those topics that I really wanted the listeners to hear and think about and implement, you know, into their lives. So, again, thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Absolutely. It is my honor and pleasure to share with your community. So thank you for the invitation.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Carlin Shaw. We've been talking about Strangers to Friends. And again, as she mentioned, you can find out more by visiting thestrangerstofriends.com and also visiting them on Facebook. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. Remember, our show is available as a free podcast from Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. To follow our show, visit our homepage at byteradio.me and select the platform you use most. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at byteradio.me. Until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.